most half a chicken there that I haven't eaten yet. My eyes were bigger than my stomach.
Where are we going to?
All right.
N-E-M!
Anti-S&M.
Weird.
Welcome to Dougville. Yeah. Oh, here we are. This is your Quonset hut. And you know, everybody here is named Doug, right? You understand that?
Well, turn me on, dead man.
We got Doug Smith and Doug Wellman, Doug Drummond, Doug Onan, all of them.
Part 2 documents the use of submitted radionic thought frequencies in a live electroacoustic musical performance.
Beaka, 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 beaka. Boop, beep.
Hey, no fair using that electronical stuff that cooks you through the walls that they've been using in Cuba, and now our Defense Department has got a handle on it, and it was supposed to be a big secret, but Donald Trump blew it, announced to the world that we had this special, super secret, clandestine technology which kind of drives people crazy when you beam it at them through the walls.
C'est le succès. La, la, la,
any advantage in having it has now been sacrificed completely, because they'll suspect it even when it's not being used.
Hey, hell, it's for the way you look at me. Oh, it's for the only one I see.
Ah, Pedro, what you taught us about the etiquette of ingestion of certain terpenes. And he not only was a teacher, but a grader. He would sternly grade you on whether you smoked properly. I don't know what he said about me, but in my presence he certainly severely criticized everybody else's method of smoking marijuana. He said, Doug Wellman is where smoke marijuana goes to die. No, where joints go to die. And he said Ed Holmes would squeeze the life out of a joint, hold it too tight. And he said Michael Pepe would suck on it too hard and cause the big run to go down the side of it. Oh yes, he was certain that there was only one right and proper way to smoke a joint of marijuana. And enter a new world. Dance and sing, see pretty colors, or whatever. Robot rebellion right here in the studio. What's with this equipment? Look at that. It's like a little mechanical hand. I never noticed it before. Right there, see? All right, I'm gonna interrupt this process. I tried to start it over again. A reboot, that's the way they call it. Yeah. And wait a minute, now open again, and flip the frog, I mean the thing, you know.
The subsystems is radar
mobile. Oh, fudge. This makes me sad. But it's not the only arrow in our quiver.
think about the rest. Voile sur les filles. Doo-doo-doo. Barque sur le Nil.
Well, I'll be darned, we got there.
Je suis dans ta vie. Lasciatemi cantare con la guitare al mano.
Je ne reconnais plus personne en Harley Davidson. Je n'ai besoin de personne en Harley Davidson. J'appuie sur le starter et voici que je quitte.
Steve, we're looking for that one lucky caller to come on down to the station.
What in tarnation is going on here? I'm experiencing the terrible robot rebellion of 2026. Now let's see, maybe I can. I don't know, it's just, you have to try to outthink him. Here we go.
She just doesn't understand a woman's place in the world. That's what it is.
Oh, it's not that bad, Dick. She just wants to be on the radio.
Hello!
Damn it!
Who's
gonna call?
Glenn,
we need a caller to have a minute. Here we go.
Hello?
Hey, this is 93KHK, the real Bob Steele. You're the lucky winner. What's your name?
Helen Nordic.
Helen Nordic is her name? That's an odd name.
A chance to get out of here.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. Oh, and an unfortunate incident. Yes, they really got her going. These things happen. You should see the comics that I draw with the Cartoon Club. There, aliens get away with everything. I mean, there's no question of defeating the aliens in these stories that are in the mini comics. The house cat, Felix Catus, slunk into China in the 7th century. But long before that, the ancient Chinese were by no means catless. A new genetic analysis offers evidence that between 5,400 and 1,900 years ago, it was the leopard cat, Prionilurus bengalensis, that pounced on the rats and mice of ancient China. This is what researchers are now reporting in Cell Genomics, a respected and reputable scientific publication. The finding offers hints as to why some animals end up in our homes and hearts while others stay wild and free. Modern house cats are descendants of the African wildcat, Felis libica. I am often asked at my show, that is when I do a live show, if we can breed miniature dogs, Dr. Hal, how come we can't breed miniature cats? And I always have to give the same answer. The cat, as we know it, is already a miniature. Yes, they can't get any smaller than they are. Their natural size is like lions, tigers, that kind of thing. And I wouldn't kid you. Well, we just can't figure out some things around here. Well, just have to hope these cantankerous contraptions can get back on the straight and narrow.
Where have you been?
I've been trying to fix
this stuff. I've got a job at KHJ. I'm going to save AM radio.
Are you retarded? Women can't do anything.
Yes, they almost can, Mom.
Get your head out of the clouds. You're being... What's that word you used, Jim?
Retarded.
Yeah, quit being retarded.
I'm not being retarded.
That used to be a euphemism for feeble-minded. But now it has joined the list of words one must not use. As you what, Pilgrim? Oh, my.
Once hidden and operating behind the scenes, they are now traded openly in mortal suffering.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be back before you again.
The force that through the green fuse drives the flower drives my green age. That blasts the rust of trees is my destroyer. And I am dumb to tell the crooked rose my youth is bent by the same wintry fever. The force that drives the water through the rocks drives my red blood. That dries the mouthing streams, turns mine to wax.
Well, what do you know? Hello? How are you, Tara? As you can see, I went to the chicken place. It's still open, of course. What was that? Yes, that's chicken and rice, but of greater interest is that the dessert, which I still have, is cheesecake. Do you want some? Are you sure? Yeah, but it's soft. You don't have to chew it or anything. It's just a... Even cherry cheesecake? How about raspberry? All right, well, you got me there. Why don't you pull up a magical microphone and I will see if I do the same thing I always do. It could be in the refridge. Yes, it was a party last night, and they could have left a bunch of stuff. Often they do. In addition to the cheesecake, I got a salad. I feel in the mood for a salad. Words. Well, let me turn up the dreaded phones, the headphones.
No, they're up. I could hear that forbidden plan.
Yeah,
nine from outer space.
One of the decks wouldn't play it. Boy, I don't see how this is supposed to. There we go. We can easily change the record.
But this is
K-Rob. He did come in. This is not a tape. As I said, it is not beyond...
Promises made, promises crept in through the floorboards.
Well, we'll do our best not to drive them out with a broom handle.
Ah.
Oh, come on. Lucky I drank all that, so nothing is spilled.
And lots of star sapphires.
They take a week to crystallize. Well, emeralds do?
Well, diamonds or an emerald or either combination of the two is fine. Does she ever answer that question? Does she say yes or does she just kind of go,
No, she embraces him because it is something that she would like.
Yeah.
You know, of course the robot knows what she likes.
I just remember in the trailer, he says, well, diamonds or emeralds do, and then she doesn't answer, and then it cuts to another scene.
Uh-huh.
In the trailer, like she
doesn't. I think she gives him a hug and a compliment.
Okay.
Oh, I hope nobody discovers evidence of my malfeasance.
Clean and sober! At the end of the 1978 invasion of the Body Snatchers, Donald Sutherland screams at Victoria Cartwright with a clean and sober!
No longer harboring all the imperfections that flesh is heir to. Being plant people, they're now pure.
Right. But they have no problem drugging the untransformed humans into submission.
Well, whatever, they still have the agility of a human brain to make plans and solve problems.
So how's it going, Hal? What's it been like in the last week or so?
Well, I've had strange, ominous pains and, you know, everything to make one paranoid and hypochondriacal.
Like the hypochondriacat. Yeah, sure.
Even worse than the Thundercats.
Well, you remember the hypochondriacat.
I can't say as I do.
Oh, man. Well, I think that's a... That's probably a Chuck Jones.
Alrighty.
It was like a cat who was a hypochondriac cat, and there were two mice that were torturing him.
I see the setup.
And they have, and he has like a nightmare where it's like, you know, Pee Wee Herman's doctor nightmare. And it's like, we're gonna operate. We're gonna
operate.
Yeah. And it's like he, it's kind of, yeah, it's one of the better Chuck Jones. I think it's Chuck Jones. Like, the way the cat looks is a very Chuck Jones-looking cat.
Right, because Jones would design the characters looking at his own face in a mirror.
Oh, okay.
So you get this Chuck Jones look in his characters' faces.
Yeah, they, you know... Have that in the list of possibles for a cartoon moment, maybe.
I ordered a copy of The Day the Earth Blew Up because it amused me so much when I watched it on the airplane coming back to SF.
A great one. Taking my heart away. There's not a lot of dead air in that spare tire.
It's like a long cartoon.
Yeah.
And has cartoon-like gags in it.
So. Yeah, tons of gags.
Some reference other cartoons that we know, like the guy falling down the huge flight of stairs inside the saucer is like in the one where Porky and Daffy are stuck in the hotel.
Oh, I didn't think about that, but yeah.
Porky Pig's Feet.
Right.
A Frank Tashlin cartoon.
That tumbly.
And as they fall down the stairs, they're saying, ooh, ow, ee, ah.
Right.
But then they're only pretending to fall down the stairs, and they're standing outside the door going, ooh, ah, ee, ah. So they open the door, and there's the horrible hotel manager. Daffy gambled all the money to pay the hotel bill away.
Yeah.
Lost it. but he takes a smack in the face for his cause, which seems very heroic.
Does Daffy Duck actually lay an egg, or does he... I forget, because he's sort of tasked with the laying of eggs, because Porky Pig sabotages the chicken eggs.
And maybe. He says, do you know how hard it is for a male duck to lay an egg?
Exactly.
The hen-pecked duck is great with the egg that unaccountably disappears, you know.
Here we are at the juke joint. So, did you see that Sinners got 16 nominations?
Yes, but as I thought, they would all be, you know, not Best Picture, Best Actor, or anything like that. Or did they get Best Actor?
I don't know. I don't know what they were nominated for. I just know that it was one of the largest nomination spreads.
Well, I'm glad they're paying attention.
No doubt it'll be the cause for some monologue yucks, you know, at the at the ceremony.
Yeah, how are you going to make fun of you know, this direly racist situation augmented by vampires? But that never stopped him before.
Well, you just drop the N-word every 5 seconds. That ought to do it.
Not allowed in get along Hollywood.
Yeah. Zero tolerance Hollywood.
You gotta say nice things about every damn person you meet.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta.
Yeah. No more just freeform roasting, you know, as the... I guess you save that for...
Well, that would be a special, exceptional situation, and I'm not sure they do that anymore, but then I'm not in that particular...
Like the celebrity roast, you mean?
Do they? Major way, or just in a Hicks from the Sticks way?
Well, they'd had, like,
the William Shatner
roast and the Donald Trump roast, you know, like Comedy Central had roasts.
Yeah.
And Jeff Ross was the roast master of those, latter-day roasts, you know.
Jeff Ross, good Lord.
The days of Dean Martin and Johnny Carson, of course.
Yeah.
Long since passed.
But some of it would remain. Like the creator of the Family Guy, that guy. He's quite the
Family Guy.
You know, the creator of it.
Oh, Seth MacFarlane?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you know he can sing and dance like Frank Sinatra?
Oh, yeah.
And he does at the Oscars in a tuxedo, you know, doing these nimble dance routines.
Okay.
So I would say, yes, he is firmly in the pipeline of that type of deal.
Right.
The finger snapping, tuxedo wearing, pompadoured, bow tied.
Sure, yeah. Just lock into that genre. Yeah, they didn't really, when they remade Ocean's 11, they weren't specifically Rat Pack-ish. Even though...
No, it was less than that. As perhaps it should have been for what... Didn't Steven Soderbergh make it?
Yeah, he made all three. He did not make the Ocean's 8 movie, which was the all-girl orchestra. I don't know who directed that one. Probably a woman. Hey, let's have some agency, people.
All-girl orchestra, eh?
Yeah. Cate Blanchett and...
In my dad's time, there was Phil Spitalny and his all-girl orchestra. Like, he, a man, led an orchestra composed entirely of women. Phil Spitalny...
DJ Pussycat has a reel of like an all-girl marimba band.
I'm getting the Murder at the Vanities, the old 1930 pre-code music movie. That has in it, among other things, the Sweet Marijuana number with the Mexicans in sombreros and the torch singer singing. And
okay, so. Cool. Do they have, like, marijuana-themed outfits or anything like that? Or?
Well, it's about marijuana, you know, and they have all these guys shuffling around in serapes and sombreros.
Okay, yeah. So it's just south of the border is the motif.
Have you ever seen that footage?
No, no.
Oh. It's in Ron Mann's documentary film Grass.
Oh, I've seen that before. Hey, you want a candy?
Oh, sure. It's, I guess, a special candy. A wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'm going to take all the trash out when I leave this place.
Taking out the trash. It's fucking trash, man. Trash.
Well, now let us not judge, lest we ourselves be judged, oh brother.
Maybe to that Snickers wrapper, you're the trash.
Mmm, what flavor is this?
Mango, I think.
All right. Mango with a side order of herbage.
Yeah.
The taste is unmistakable.
Grab your telephone! Just
did
right. That's
love it. So many songs about calling on the telephone. Got me a telephone call from Jesus.
Yeah. I picked
got him
up
the
phone
line.
And I dialed up G-O-D.
You're doing nothing, you just
call 1-800-GET Go Jesus. Maybe.
And Burning Man, there's this phone booth and it says talk to God.
Yeah.
And you go in and pick up the receiver.
Crispin Glover is Andy Warhol.
Somebody's on the other end of it. Somebody gets to be God.
Yeah.
But after all, aren't we all divine manifestations? Man was made in the image of God.
Yeah.
So you're a little bitty particle of God.
Yeah.
And entitled to speak for him.
Was it made in the image of a
prehistoric reptile?
Priest, yeah.
As far as we know.
Yeah. Yeah, all those first generation creatures, those are the actual images. You know?
Well, before the earth was made and hung on well-oiled hinges, and he cast the dark foundations deep and bid the weltery waves their oozy channel keep, he made the angels. They're the first creation.
Oh, dang. Okay.
You know, they came first. And we're a come-down from them in many respects.
Are you an angel?
But man himself, being an image of old Jehovah One, will also be a creator and is creating the new generations of robots.
If you make it to your house.
Is that supposed to be your robot?
What about Dr. Doom's robot doubles?
You know, that's a funny thing. There was a page in one of those stories where it was Dr. Doom versus Spider-Man, and you see Dr. Doom thinking, I've got to keep him talking, and then I can do... And then it turns out that the same person who was apparently thinking that is one of Dr. Doom's robot doubles.
Yeah.
This was held up as terrible, sloppy writing by Stan Lee.
Stan Lee was writing that one.
Oh, yes. Well, okay. I mean, Stan Lee essentially writes it by filling in the balloons. That's what he would do. Kirby would draw the things.
Oh, I get you. Yeah. I knew that he wrote Spider-Man. I knew that he came up. Like, he wrote a lot of early stuff, but yeah, I didn't know it.
The early Ditko Spider-Man was intense. But of course, things go through so many changes in production. So what's on tap for Reloadio tomorrow?
Well, I'm not inviting anybody, if that's what you mean.
It's just the nucleus, just the core performers there.
Just the original Toto. They're
well,
on the
why
roof
not?
Of the station.
Why not?
Or on the roof of the 7-Eleven.
For that final encore performance?
Right, right. I was thinking the last show that we do will be on the roof of a 7-Eleven. Play like an outdoor concert.
Well, there's one down on... what is that street? 16th, I think.
16th.
Isn't it true that if you go... Is it 16th? Maybe it's 18th. If you go far enough along there... Yeah, I think it is 18th. There's a 7-Eleven. Or one of those...
Oh, not anymore.
...convenience stores. Oh, it's gone?
Oh, yeah, it's been gone for years.
Oh, well. That shows
but they had
how
au
courant I am.
They had, like, apartments built... Like over it. I'm thinking, like, you have a 7-Eleven and you could be on the roof of the 7-Eleven.
Uh-huh.
Like a single standing store.
Strangely sounding like an old Janer Hypercleats routine. That thing on the roof of this 7-Eleven, it ain't got no face. Yeah.
Yeah, the 7-Eleven. That was Janer. They did the 7-Eleven bits.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got to get him in at the last one, you know, like final Reloadio on the roof of 7-Eleven featuring Janer Hypercleats.
Well, we could give him credit, but that's far from satisfying him.
Oh, no, I'm not looking to satisfy him. I'm just
he declared us, you know, unclean or whatever, so it is difficult to say. Yeah.
My last run-in with him was a little weird.
I didn't realize you had one.
It was like about 10 plus years ago. It was probably 2011.
And actually. He was here, right?
No. I ran into him on Venice Beach.
Oh. Was he doing his Mr. TV act?
Exactly, yeah. He was just coming out of that, but he was kind of like on the, you know, on the beach.
How was he doing?
Like the strip.
With the act. Was he getting a good crowd?
No.
I guess you saw the David Letterman thing where he was shown, you know, but not in a flattering light.
Say again?
They showed, I believe it was David Letterman, people on Venice Beach, including Janer inside his TV, and then it cut to David Letterman making a face of distaste or something.
Okay. So, like, they were... The David Letterman show was in L.A., and then they did, like, a little sidewalk feature comedy thing. Right?
That was the thing.
Yeah.
That used to be quite common. In fact, in the show I was on, there was a segment where Kevin went out and he did man-in-the-street interviews with of people, and he asked them about various conspiracy theories.
Kevin Nealon, right?
Kevin Nealon, yeah. Right. That was it. Supposedly his show, you see. It was the Conspiracy Zone with Kevin Nealon.
Right. Do you got a sense that he kind of like had an ownership of the show? He wasn't just like installed as a host necessarily,
well,
right?
When you're in that position, you think of it as your show.
Right.
Just as in Star Trek, William Shatner always thought of it as his show.
Right.
Which rankled the other members of the cast.
Did you ever see there was this thing where... This is like when they were making Star Trek V and Star Trek VI. I think it's Star Trek V, the one that Shatner directed.
Yes, supposedly the worst of them all.
And he's introducing, you know, the crew on the bridge of the Enterprise. And he goes, Lieutenant Uhura, Nichelle Nichols. And he goes... The man who plays Chekhov. And then Walter Koenig goes, Walter Koenig. you know, like he has to remind him who he is.
This is not in the movie, sure.
No. It's like a little featurette that's like saying, like, hello, investors. You know, like, we're proud that Paramount and you have joined up to help our team and, you know, whatever. Yeah, it was like a promotional thing, but he introduced, like, the crew when they were all on the bridge, and he said, the man who plays Chekhov.
Well, it's possible that you forget something that you know very well, and yet you have to keep going. And he did put his name in.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if he said Takei or Takai, but there was... When there was the roast of William Shatner, George Takei, like Toupee, that's how he introduced himself.
That be funny.
That's a pretty good one. I think that's a Jeff Ross. Either he was there. See, here's the thing. I don't know if he's the roast master or if he's just among the, like, the dais, like he's there at the dais for everyone. But I think he got roast master because he said yes to every gig. You know, like, maybe that's what it is. But I think it was hosted by...
Not a bad strategy.
Somebody that wasn't, like, it was, like, different.
Let him know you can be relied on.
Celebrities.
Yeah, so...
You can't say who knew when you're regarding them.
Well, some dirty laundry always comes to light, which is a pity. Whose life can withstand such an up-close and constant examination?
Yeah. Well, I think with every new generation, they're more acclimated to surveillance and cameras and screens and
yes,
all that kind of stuff, you know. So I think they, you know, like their body language and their verbal language is probably a lot more tempered as a result, you know. These kids, I tell you. Following the rules like a bunch of idiots.
They'll learn. Did you see Joe Laudati's little Guanji film yet?
No, I haven't.
It's fun. I think you'd like it. And clearly a labor of love.
Is Phil Tippett still with us?
I believe so.
Yeah, I want him to do something else.
Well, I wish he could and would.
You know, it doesn't have to be Mad God 2, but it would be nice to have him in the...
Doesn't he have effects in something called the Spiderwick Chronicles?
Oh, jeez.
You know...
I don't know about that.
Well, I thought he did. I don't know why I thought that, but...
Well, I mean, he could. I'd never seen the thing.
Do you know what it is or what it's about?
No, I don't.
Might
it
possibly
make out the lettering style.
Involve little dwarfs or little trolls?
Okay. So does he create, like, a troll world or a... Or creatures that roam?
I'm only guessing. Where monsters prowl, about 2.5 feet tall. Where creatures roam.
So I, you remember the middle 90s?
Vaguely? Yeah, I remember them.
Okay.
You'd have to remind me about certain events, but then once reminded, I would recall them.
So Doug was playing a piece of, you know, tape. We'll just call it tape.
Yes.
From 1995, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And It was a Puzzling Evidence show in which me, Corey, and Don were all on the phone. But then Jody and Pedro were in the studio. And so, like, that's who was all, like, kind of present and accounted for. But that's not the point.
The all-stars.
The point is, you were doing a bit that was kind of like a recurring bit, where it was like you were like the voice of a little girl who talked about the Veggiesauruses being good and the Meatosauruses mm-hmm. being bad mm-hmm. because they ate meat. Now, did that come from Jurassic Park? Was that a Jurassic Park reference? That's what I was
saying. No, but it's a type of merchandising which I've seen done for years, you know. That's an approach to doing a story about dinosaurs. Is it? One thing's for sure, kids love dinosaurs.
So this is the testimony of a girl who... Because I thought it was... like I always thought that was like a reference to the...
It's an old...
Meatosaurus is Lex. Meatosaurus. And the cow, or the dinosaur that chews like a cow?
Yes, which no dinosaur did or could. The jaw does not work that way.
Yeah.
But the whole idea that sauropods or vegetarian dinosaurs would be peaceful is not substantiated. They would probably be extremely aggressive and violent. Like the vegetarian animals of today.
Yeah.
Who are necessarily on a hair trigger and will attack you and kill you because everything's trying to do it to them.
Right.
Even the gentle, beautiful deer can really mess you up. But why take my word for it? Well, I did mention, I think, that on the next Ask Dr. Hal, the home edition show on February 15th, we will show that Valley of Guanji thing.
But, oh, nice.
But you can see it at any time just by going to Joel Odati's site and watching it. Still, he sent us some nice files, so we'll be able to show an exceptionally good version of it. That's a large size instead of the... half screen size that you see it online.
Right.
Why?
I just saw a streamed version of Galaxy Quest where they did the appropriate aspect ratio for all of the scenes. Like, I don't think the DVD or the Blu-ray has the appropriate expansion moment where Captain Taggart, Jason Nesmith, rather, he discovers that he's actually in space, and then the aspect ratio goes from 1.85 to 2.35. Because it's like now, you know, so it starts out at 4.3, like a square, then it goes to 1.85, then it goes to 2.35. But I don't think the DVD versions of the movie only have the... they just go from 4.3 to 2.35. They don't have the middle zone thing. Because when I saw it theatrically, I was going like, did the room just get bigger? Like, it's like it felt like the room got bigger, you know? And it was really effective. And it was just like, wow, this, you know. So I'm still talking about Galaxy Quest and thinking like, it's great, it's great, it's great. But it streamed, and I was thinking like, oh, I want that version on a disc, you know? Because discs are always better than streams. Terms of quality, the quality.
Well, 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 I was just wondering if there was a way to get that thing right here on the old telephone.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. I don't know how good the internet is in here. Sometimes I try to patch Twitch into my phone.
Well, I can't get the internet on it.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like a negative zone for internet when you come.
Did you see
like
these?
The internet works worse. Just 5 feet into the building.
You
know?
Did you see these animated Bob ones? You should scroll on.
Oh, are those?
Did you see them?
I don't think I saw that one.
I can just hand it to you, and then all you need to... Oh, I see. It's a little thing. Whoa. Yes. Who donated that to the station? A tiny semi-translucent plesiosaur. Just scroll down and... Can you see?
Myself.
What happened to your old one?
I lost it on New Year's Eve. So, that's why I'm hoping that my KPFA card will be reinstated so I can...
How was it unreinstated?
Because it was in the wallet that I lost.
Oh, I see.
Along with my real ID and, my credit card and my Cinnabon gift card. You know, the important stuff. You know, while you're looking at your phone, you could, like, speak in tongues.
I could. I was. I thought maybe I could find my way to that... A little bit of footage, but that's all right.
That's all right. Yeah, what about, was it Golar? Is that his name?
Golar, yes.
Golar, yeah.
Yes, the R often seems to get lost.
I was thinking, like, Golar can sing That's All Right Mama, but in his own inimitable style.
What about Golar?
Well, he has that line where he goes, that's right.
Oh, yeah. That's a
but he could sing the Elvis song, or but, the one that Elvis made famous, That's All Right Mama.
Right. Any way you do.
That's right, Mama.
Well, he does things because the other sailors put him up to them. You know, even in the Caliph's prison yard, you may remember.
Right.
Gola dares, you know, who dares to sail with us and face those monsters? Gola dares, that's right.
Yeah.
So then everyone follows, but they make him the bellwether.
He's like the Mikey of the life ads.
And so there's the scene, you know, where the princess is in her jewel box and she comes out and pushes grapes, or is it peas, around on Sinbad's plate with her foot. While right. She's talking to
yeah.
him.
Why, Lebu?
And there's
creature
a knocking at the door, so he puts her back in the box. He opens the door, and Golar bursts in and slugs him in the face.
Oh, this is the mutiny?
Yes.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
He's the one, definitely. No doubt the other ones put him up to it.
Right.
Golar will attack the captain, won't he?
And Trump's like, I'll be right with you, you know, go to the Capitol.
That's right. He's not afraid of him. Just knock him down.
Yeah. Plus he could see how many flasks of wine he could put away.
Yeah, well, he was a big guy. In good state of muscular development.
Yeah. Kind of like Hercules and Jason. You know, he had that body, that frame. You know?
But Hercules had more sensitivity, you've got to admit.
Well, yeah. I'm just talking body width. Because he skipped the discus.
At least he didn't slip a discus. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Have you heard of a movie called Primitive War? Where these, you know, Vietnam, it's they're in Vietnam, they're soldiers, they're fighting, but suddenly they get into
vampires?
Dinosaurs. They get into the land of the dinosaurs.
Oh, nice, okay.
They're all computer generated, but I've heard they're not too bad, you know?
Okay. Because that's what one of the Kong movies took place in Vietnam, right?
Well, in the Vietnam era, and they go through a certain barrier, you know. It's not in, I guess it's certainly part of there. It looks like the, geologically, like it should. Like the mountains and hills in Chinese paintings with the fog, the mist, and so
right,
on.
Right. Jeeps and generals.
Right. driving right under Reptilicus, so it falls right on.
That Rinaldi always getting into trouble.
Always sticking his neck out. I think that's the line. Always sticking his neck out.
So what is this dinosaur-filled gumball machine?
I have no idea. It was just over there on the table.
Well, it doesn't belong to me. I probably shouldn't mess with it. And it's some kid's thing with little fake cake slices in it.
Oh, so there are kids. That's why they have these little chairs in here.
Maybe. And there are little capsules, each of which contains a tiny figure. And I'll bet when you put them in water, they grow appreciably larger. Larger so that you can see what they actually are.
Dampen me for dinosaur terror.
They're down there. They're just so small, you can't really see what they are.
But you could just dumped a lot of them on the table, right?
Well, that would be disruptive and destructive.
All right.
No, I would have to put one in water, and then it would grow large enough to see. Oh, they're so small, they're almost below the threshold of my vision. Oh, a brontosaurus. A moving mountain of flesh and bone. Feeling a chill?
Well, I'm gonna try to grab a beer next door.
Sounds like a plan.
It's almost midnight, so
grabbing a beer next door, yeah.
Are you heading to the tattoo place?
Yes, I am.
Afterwards?
Not for a while.
Yeah, I brought my stuff. I could play some things, but
that would be fun.
I'll be back.
All right. Well, you heard it here, folks. K-Rob's going next door for a beer, but he's going to be back. And when he comes back, he's going to plug in his contraption, and control of the show will pass from me to him, and you'll appreciate the difference. Remember, Relodio is coming tomorrow at the usual time, and as we've heard tonight, with the usual crew without any addition known to be present at the present time. Of course, things can change, and it would be rash to promise anything. Still, it looks just like the basic group. On the 24th of January, 2026. Just use the search word Relodio, a word invented by the late Dr. Peter Goldie. R-E-L-O-A-D-I-O. I-O. And the idea is sound, that all this stuff is reloaded over and over again. Yes, we tend to repeat ourselves, but there are variations. You know, all human artifacts are like that. They involve repetition, sometimes deliberate, ceremonial, symbolic, metrical, themes, epithets. I mean, you want to make a federal case out of it? That is this variety of entertainment, if it may so be called.
I had been in Bangkok, and it was very late at night, and I used to stay near an old Thai fortress that was on the banks of one of the canals that was bordering the tourist mecca, Bang Lumpur. And I was coming back from...
dictators worldwide. And if it's good enough for them, why shouldn't it be good enough for you? You don't have to be a tyrant to sleep like a tyrant. On the Downy Rest, 5,000.
How many here know who Bob Dogg is? Raise your hand.
I do.
We're live cameras down on the floor of the convention right now.
Hey, now you're all right.
Where people might be voting for Bob.
You had a letter in your box. Did you notice?
Oh, no, I haven't yet. I rushed in here and put little tapes in the box.
From some strange organization. Some cult-like...
Cult Stock. Actually, Mr. Shirley and Philo and I were planning Cult Fest.
Are you going this year to Cult Stock?
We're going to make up Cult Stock. And then invite everybody, from the FBI to the Mormons to the Wahoojin.
Well, I'm going out to Flash's, and we'll have a powwow about perhaps hosting a subgenius wing game.
As Bob said,
when are you going up?
If you let me live.
Sometime during the Thanksgiving week, Alex.
Yeah, so am I. So I was just wondering, because I will be driving up, I don't know, maybe Friday or Saturday.
Do you have your book of the subgenius?
Hard to
say. Would you turn to Prescripture 715?
Because, yes, it'll be camping at Flash's.
camping.
And then I was going to shoot a little, well, he doesn't have a hotel out there.
How do you know?
Oh, I forgot to download.